The Money Show.
Investment School.
Investment School brought to you by Vodalend. Grow your freight transportation business with a cash advance from Vodalend. Search Vodalend now and apply in just 10 minutes. Vodalend is powered by Vodacom Financial Services. T's and C's apply. David Shapiro, stockbroker, deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities. How is David Shapiro on this Tuesday evening?
I'm okay. I'm a bit tired of being confined to the corner of my apartment. You know, it's been nearly a year already.
It has been, and you're a garrulous guy. You're a sociable guy, and in the week before we were locked down, I saw you, and we chatted, and you were concerned that this was going to be a hell of a 5 weeks, and it was, and it's continued. I mean, you've never seen, David, I mean, for a kid who grew up on the JSE trading floor, you developed, I think, sharp elbows and a loud voice and a boisterous presence, and you know, none of that stuff matters anymore, unfortunately.
No, not at all. Now I'm stuck here, and you know, this is how we communicate. I talk to pictures the whole day, and many of the pictures don't even talk back, which is rather disturbing. I'm trying to get back to the office. I'm trying to get them to open up at least the canteen so we can meet and chat around there. But Bruce, that was the last time I wore a tie. And Jacob, I've still got the picture of us outside Mezzopoli. That was it.
I actually cannot imagine you going for a week without wearing a tie, never mind a year, because you are the king of the tie, David Shapiro. You are the king of the tie. We could start talking about that, but then we take up valuable investment school time. Now, David, you've been in stock markets for an awfully long time. Your career began, and you've told us this before, working in your dad's stock brokerage, and you made one or two mistakes in the early days, and he used language that you didn't know that he knew to admonish you. But you learned some very important lessons, and you have built a very long and proud career in stockbroking. Tonight, it's all about choosing shares rather than investment portfolios, rather than leaving it up to an investment professional to do it for you. You're suggesting that most of us have got the wherewithal to do this for ourselves. And for most people who struggle to choose a unit trust, never mind a share, that's quite a scary prospect.
Well, Bruce, I've directed this at young investors, mainly young people who want to learn about the market. The best way to learn is to start buying shares. And the one thing about the stock market is, the people in the stock market, I always use that story. You know, we were the bottom end of the school. We were the bottom end of the class. All the clever chaps, they became scientists and advocates and engineers and surgeons and so on. The bottom end, we went to insurance companies and we went to the stock market, but we did an honest job. We were there. And so all I'm trying to say is that you don't need a very high IQ to select what's a good company. But it does come with a bit of experience. You know, you just got to be able to understand businesses. And it's absolutely essential, if you do want to get into the market, to learn about the companies that make up not only our market, but of course global markets as well. And it's enjoyable. It's very enjoyable. I use the example of growing up as a young kid, sitting in the back of your parents' car. You know, they took you everywhere. And it was so much more exciting when you got in front of the wheel. Not only did you have the power in front of you, but you also learned a lot about what was happening around you. You learned to get around. You know, you learn the streets, you learn when to stop, when not to stop, when to take over overtake, that's a business term. to overtake and so on. And you learned what other people were driving. You saw life behind the wheel instead of being in the back of the car where you were just moaning and groaning and being taken there without knowing. And that, to me, is the same. That's an analogy that I use. You know, much later in life when you get to retirement age and you don't want to drive anymore, yes, you can sit in the back and let Alan Gray drive you or Investec or any of the big houses. But until then, you learn so much about what's happening in the economy, what's happening in businesses themselves, And it helps you in business by actually selecting your own shares and learning about your own shares.
Yeah, earlier you said, you know, you're able to choose a good company. And I quite like that because the difference to buy a company and buying shares, it's exactly the same thing. But you're talking about something beyond just share investing. You're talking about understanding the companies. And I mean, Warren Buffett is an incredibly wise man, and I know that you're a fan. And he just talks about, you know, before you put your money into companies, you really need to understand them, and you need to spend your time doing your research. And I think that is the vast majority of your work, is truly delving deep and understanding what makes the money for these guys, where the opportunities are, where the risks lie, and whether or not the price that you're being asked to pay on any given day is a price that will allow you to make a decent return over time.
That's exactly, you've summed it up beautifully. It is exactly that. By making those decisions, not only are you educating yourself, but you're also learning about them. And one thing is that when you select the stock, selecting a partner, whether it's a physical partner or a business partner, you have to build that relationship. And that's why it's not that easy. You know, so many kids or young people come to the market and they've all got the programs. They don't want to do the hard work. They don't want to read. They want to sit in front of a computer either looking at charts or they want to distill data. They want to put spreadsheets up and they start putting all kinds of measurements in, you know, measuring the multiples, the dividend yields, the return on capital, all those fancy things that you learn in a university. And they put that in and it throws up companies to the top, and that's where they're going to buy. It doesn't work like that. You've got to learn businesses and you've got to build a relationship over time. You've got to understand, as you said, what products do they sell? Who are their customers? Management is a big thing. You've got to build a trust. Bruce, you interview hundreds of people. And when you sit down in front of a person, you can more or less assess that person. You know, and the best question to ask when you're going to buy a share is not whether you buy the share. Would you lend them money? Would you lend them your son's money? Would you lend them money? And if your answer is no, just beware. You know, in other words, you've got to feel that kind of comfort that, yes, I'm quite happy to lend this man, you know, all my life savings because I'm trusting, I know he's going to pay it back, etc. But you've got to learn to develop those techniques when you look at businesses.
David Shapiro, we are going to try and get hold of you on a telephone. Right now, it feels like we're listening to the BBC World Service on shortwave.
Oh, no.
It's becoming in and out. Yeah, a bit like that. So, going to be talking to David Shapiro. More with him in a moment. Let's get him on the old-fashioned way on the telephone. He is sharing so many wonderful insights. He's sharing so much of his glorious experience on tonight's Money School. The stockbroker, the Money School, it is the Investment School. David Shapiro, the veteran stockbroker this evening on The Money Show.
The Money Show. Investment School.
We are being schooled this evening, and we are being schooled with vigor and rigor by David Shapiro, stockbroker, deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities. Talk to me, David Shapiro, about Bitcoin, because the missed opportunity of Bitcoin is leaving so many people with dreadful FOMO, the fear of missing out. And what we have seen is money flying into Bitcoin faster than you can say, I've got nothing better to do with my money. I went to about $55,000 a coin at the end of last week, and today I see it's about 18% down at below $50,000 once again. The volatility in this thing is quite extraordinary. But are you a fan? No, it's not a stock. I know it's not a company. I know it doesn't have a face or a human being attached to it. But is it something you could consider as an investment option?
Not really. Not because of that, just because I just don't understand it. And to actually put other people's money into something like this, where, you know, can fall 18% in a day, I think is very scary. And what also worries me is when you see volatility like that, you can't really use it as a currency or as a means of payment, Bruce. You know, that that's the big argument, is that can you imagine if you're a merchant and someone drops a Bitcoin onto you and then 5 minutes later you're down about 15-18%. You know, that's all very well for speculators, but very difficult for, very difficult for merchants or people using it as a means of settlement. So that's what scares me. What it does seem to be doing is taking a lot of attraction away from gold, because gold just seems to be withering away, not much attention being paid. But somewhere down in the future, and a not distant future, there will be a settlement similar to Bitcoin, something like that. So this is not going. This is the start of something that we will get used to in the future. But for me at the moment, I just don't understand it.
Are we at the beginning of something brand new? Is this yet just another fad? I forget which one of these really famous global economists. I was watching a fabulous video and I was really entranced by him, saying it's no different from the tulip mania, and it's no different to the South Sea bubble. It's no different because there's a mad frenzy and logic goes out the window and you suspend belief because it can only go up because everybody loves it, and therefore it must go up.
That's why it is going up, until it doesn't go up, and that's the problem. But I think at least tulips you could plant in the garden and grow flowers. I'm not sure you can do anything with Bitcoin. It doesn't really have a use. South Sea bubble, that was also something that didn't exist, but it was an island somewhere, there was something, around it. But this is difficult. Bruce, I don't want to be cynical, and that's the last thing. Having been in the market, I watch and pay attention. And I'm certainly paying attention to Bitcoin, trying to get a better understanding and hopefully that, It does improve. Why I say improve? At the moment, it's very cumbersome to actually, mine it, to get it, to use it as a means of settlement. You know, it's not as efficient as some of the other means of settlement. So I know you've got, there are just so many supporters out there, and so many people who believe in it. But I think when you handle other people's money, you've got to be extra careful in what you do with it.
Talk to me about news and fake information and the best way of illustrating it. My favorite story that you have ever told me about you and your friend, not a relative, not a blood relative, but you and your friend, Jack Shapiro, Jack Shapiro, sitting. Jack Shapiro is sitting on the stock exchange floor and the phone rings and you're a bit bored and somebody asks Jack a question.
Somebody asked me a question. It was Reuters.
Was it you? Sorry.
Reuters phoned me up and they said to me, why is De Beers going up? De Beers, the famous diamond mine, why were De Beers going up? And I never had an answer. And I turned to Jack and I said to Jack, why are De Beers going up? He says, I think it must be because of, I keep forgetting the name, of the Russian diamond producers. They were a very inferior quality company, et cetera. And he says it might have something to do with that the Beers are talking to them. It began, I can't remember the name, let's call it Rusky Diamonds, the Beers are talking to Rusky Diamonds. So I said, oh, okay. So I turned down to Reuters and I said to Reuters, I think it's because the Beers are in talks with Rusky Diamonds. So 5 minutes later, on Reuters screens, we used to have a Reuters screen. We never had Bloomberg or CNBC or any of those. So on the Reuters screen, it came over. The Beers up because there's talk that they, talk is that they could be talking to Rusky Diamonds. So Jack looked at it. He says, you see, I was right. In other words.
but that's the trouble.
And it was exactly this. And that's what happened. We made up the story, but it got authenticity once it appeared in print. And I think that's why you've got to be, the lesson is just be very, very careful of stories that you do here. And, Jack believed it. He believed his own story.
It's a lovely tale. It's a lovely tale, and it's even before social media. David, top three things that we need to know before we buy a share. Let's just wrap it up with that, I think. I mean, let's assume that tomorrow morning we're going to take the plunge. We're going to open up a stockbroking account. We're going to fill it with lovely money and we're going to start buying shares. What are the top three things we need to know?
Okay, the one thing I'm going to tell you what happens in the stock market, that normally cautious people, very cautious people who go and buy a fridge and look at the, they will go onto the internet and read all about the fridge. They'll read all about a motor car. They'll read all about anything, the stove that they buy. They do their research. When it comes to the stock market and someone says buy Bitcoin, they drop all those kind of reserves and guard and everything simply because they want to make money fast and they go out and buy Bitcoin. So the first thing is do the same kind of research that you would do if you were buying a fridge, a motor car, a stove, or a house. In other words, do the research. Understand what you are buying, what the company does, who its customers are, all those things that you brought up earlier. Do that first as well. Secondly, understand the business as well. Understand management. And also understand that when you make an investment, it's like buying a business, that it takes time for you to realize the reasons. You know, in other words, it doesn't go up from the next day that you buy. Sometimes you might be lucky. So to understand that it takes time for the market to recognize the benefits of that business, if it's growing its earnings and so on. Forget the noise that we go through on a day-to-day basis, the ups, the downs, the fake Jack Shapiro news. Just put that aside and make sure that you understand the full, you understand the business and you understand that it's going to grow its earnings on a sustainable basis. Where will that business be 4-5 years down the line? Very important question.
David Shapiro, superstar, stockbroker, deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities, headmaster of tonight's Investment School.